I say that because that's the tendency for most observers. When they hear bad news out of Somalia, they presume that it's just part of a long pattern of 17 years of warfare and state collapse, of failed peace processes, and they move on to the next topic, when in fact what we've seen in Somalia over the past 2 years is the rise of fundamentally new seismic changes with much greater threats. I mean, the single most important of which is that this conflict, which used to be a largely a local affair with some regional dimensions, is now very much both a regional and even global conflict. It's bringing in many more issues and actors than before, and creating much greater dangers both for the Somali people, for regional neighbors, and for the United States.
You also say that the humanitarian crisis is a result of what you call a lethal cocktail of factors. What are some of those ingredients?
Well, we've got the perfect storm right now in terms of the humanitarian crisis in Somalia. We've got massive displacement from the prolonged insurgency and counterinsurgency in Mogadishu. So much of Mogadishu is a ghost town. We have upwards of 700,000 Somalis displaced into the countryside. They can't be reached easily because humanitarian space is largely closed due to a combination of policies on the part of both the government and the insurgents, and criminal elements. There's a lack of control that's made it extremely dangerous for aid agencies. Then there's a drought, and there's spiked food prices and fuel prices worldwide. And there's also widespread counterfeiting of the Somali shilling, creating hyperinflation. And the combination is that it means that even Somali households that possess money are having trouble making ends meet, just to feed their family one meal a day.
In your strategy paper, you talk about one element of the violence in Somalia that has had some profound effects on Somali society, and that is assassinations. Would you explain?
Well, this is one of the most troubling long-term aspects of the Somali crisis, is the extent to which assassination has become a tool of choice among all of the armed groups, including the paramilitary that are technically linked to the transitional federal government. Criminal elements, the Shabab, are going after anyone they perceive to be an enemy, and the group that's getting caught in the middle are civil society leaders, aid workers, and professional Somalis and business people. And that group is the most important constituency for peace in the country. They are fleeing the country, or they are essentially going underground in the capital. They are shocked. They're in a state of despair about what's going on in Somalia. And the worst part for them is that they don't even know what direction their shooting is going to come from when they're targeted.
So what happens to Somali society without this group functioning?
My feeling is that the Djibouti agreement, which has some promise, these are moderate elements of the government and moderate elements of the opposition that have reached an agreement, and that deserves our full support. It can't succeed unless there is a constituency inside the country that's going to back it, and that constituency is there, but they've been silenced. We have got to find ways to protect that group and to provide them with the support that they need now.
You also write about a lack of unity within the TFG, the Transitional Federal Government. Would you explain how that is complicating matters?
Well, the divisions within the Transitional Federal Government have been longstanding, but they have come out into the open over the past month or two. It was so bad that the government was on the verge of complete collapse at the highest level. Ethiopians have stepped in and mediated an agreement with them. They have essentially taken the side of the prime minister and moderates, saying you must abide by the Djibouti agreement. But the fact is the tensions are very deep. It's very hard as a result for the TFG to implement the agreement when the prime minister doesn't control the armed groups in the transitional federal government who can act as spoilers.
Looking at another aspect that you call the counterterrorism blowback.
Well, our counterterrorism policies from the United States have clearly not succeeded. If you look at the situation in Somalia, it is a far more dangerous, more radicalized situation today than it was 2 years ago. A couple of the policies that we have pursued have inadvertently made things worse. Our backing of the Ethiopian occupation has provided a perfect breeding ground for insurgency and radicalization. The continued partnership with armed groups in Somalia that some would call warlord militia is deeply unpopular and has created a great deal of anti-Americanism in the country.